get them out and turn to the book of Acts. If you need a Bible, we have some we can get you in the back. Just slip up your hand. Make sure you have one. We are in the book of Acts. We're working our way through the book of Acts. In particular, we're talking about the church. And it's really a glimpse into the first church. As we've been looking at the different aspects of the church, we kind of get an idea of the model in which we should base our church upon. And this morning, we're going to finish the third part of a series that we've been looking at called Using Our Gifts to Build the Church. Using Our Gifts to Build the Church. So we're in Acts chapter 6. And as we're there, I know as we talk about gifts, just from a normal worldly point of view, most people enjoy receiving gifts. Most people, from the time they're babies, they like getting that first rattle. They like getting that first blanket. Some of you, I'm sure, still have your first blanket. They like getting their first bike. It's fun to get gifts, especially when you get a gift when you don't have to get a gift. It's not a special occasion when you're supposed to get a gift. It's just a gift. And then it's even better when the gift is a gift that somebody sort of thinks about. They know your personality and they know the things you like, and they get a gift to kind of match that, versus, you know, feeling like you have to get somebody a gift, so you just get the first thing you see and, you know, you just want to get it over with and you don't want to deal with it. And it actually, and it, you know, that way it's a little different. But when you get that gift, it feels special. It makes you feel cared for, thought about. It makes you feel loved. And that's sort of the whole idea for the believer when God ascended into heaven, when Jesus went back into heaven. It says that he then gave gifts to men. And so we are recipients as Christians, as believers, we're recipients of gifts. And those gifts are spiritual gifts. Those gifts are that which demonstrates and shows God's love for us, his care for us, his concern for us, his desire to want us to be blessed. That's what his gifts are. And so as he's given each one a gift, then as we use that gift, things happen spiritually. As we use our spiritual gift, we reproduce spiritual results. Things that we can't do in and of ourselves. The Bible says that the flesh can only reproduce flesh, and the spirit can only reproduce the spirit. And so as he's given us these gifts, now we have the opportunity and the ability, as we use these gifts, to bring forth spiritual results and spiritual fruit. Now that leads us into what we've been sort of discussing over the last few weeks in Acts chapter 6, and we've been looking at how our gifts are to be used, all the different types of gifts, the different aspects of the gifts. And we've been seeing, and we're going to finish that off today, number one, how special it is that we have a gift, and number two, how unique our gift is, and number three, as we use that gift, the primary place and the primary location for the using of our gift is within the body of Christ, the local assembly. That's the primary avenue where our gift is exercised. And so as we are exercising our gift in the local assembly, then the Bible tells us that local assembly is built up. That church is built up. So we're talking about church growing. Not church growth, where you're adding believers to the Lord, but growing those believers that are being added to the Lord. Growing those people who are saved. So that we, in Ephesians chapter 4 says that, so we all would grow up into the fullness of the measure of Christ. That we would be full grown, mature, fully operational in our Christian life. And that's really the whole purpose of why we have gifts. And so, as we look at the text this morning, let's kind of just go over what we went over the last couple of weeks. Chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, the church was growing rapidly, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so, as the church grew, the needs grew. As the church was growing, there were 2 different groups of people within the church. And one group felt like their widows were being neglected. In those days, the church would take care of the needs of the widows, the food and clothing and those things, when they didn't have an opportunity to be provided for. So we have sort of a situation going on. That's one thing to note about this very first church. There are still situations in the very first church. It wasn't just completely without its trouble. But the real key is then handling those issues correctly. And what the desire was then, and the complaint was that these widows weren't being taken care of. And so the 12 who were sort of overseeing the church, the 12 disciples, they were talked to about it. What were they to do? Now, it seems like on the surface they should have left their ministry and their calling to go and take care of the present physical needs of the church. But what we find out is that the disciples, the 12, they're saying it's not good, it's not desirable for us to leave our ministry, the ministry of the Word. And if we have seen Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says that the pastor, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists were given to the church. God has appointed them to the church in order that the church may be equipped, the church may be built up, and the church then may be ready for the ministry. And so that there are certain offices or roles in a church that God gives, He appoints and calls people that the church may be built up so they can fulfill and carry out the ministry. We looked at, the first real topic we looked at was the need of the usage of gifts in the church. We looked at that. The second thing, last week we looked at the proper use of gifts in the church. And we really focused on last week how our gifts go through a process of maturing, a process of being ready, and then as the need arises, as in our situation, the need was there, people are ready to step up and fulfill the need. That brings us to sort of the second thing we're going to talk about in looking at the proper use of our gifts, and that's going to be in verse 4. In verse 4, for the second time in just these 4 verses, it says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Second time, the apostles reiterated the fact that what they were going to do was not leave what they were called to do, not leave what they were gifted to do, and not leave where the position that God had appointed them. They weren't going to do that, but what they were going to do instead was they were going to get the body, those who were equipped in the body and had certain specific gifts that had been matured to a certain point where they were ready to take care of these gifts. And that's really what we're going to start off with today in verse 4. We want to look at gift areas. And sometimes it's, we want to be all things to all men. We pointed out how Jesus had 100% all of the gifts to their fullest extent. But we don't have that. And so as you have the body of Christ, His body, well now spiritually, all together we make up His body. All parts of Christ as believers. We are all parts, different parts of Jesus. And we saw how that Jesus on the cross, as He died, that was the perfect model or example of what grace was all about. That's where we see grace in its fullest. And from that point then, He's given people a portion of that grace. We learn that it's the manifold grace of God is what our gift is. And so our gift is actually God's grace manifested in a certain way as we submit ourselves to the Lord. And so then how do we use these gifts in the right area? That's really the issue. You see, when we're operating in our area of giftedness, it's an absolute joy. It's an absolute pleasure. It's not a burden. It's not a struggle. It's something that God has gifted us to do. And in that exercise of that particular gift, in that particular area, is where we're going to find the highest expression of God's grace to our soul and God's grace that's then manifested out to others for others to enjoy. So the first thing about the gift area, I want to look at 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn over two books to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Speaking about the gift area, and the first thing is there are different gifts. And what we want to do is to operate and function in our area of giftedness. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look at verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of what? All. All means all. And that's all means. All means everybody. And the neat thing then here is we're finding there are differences. We're finding that as we sit in a room like that, each one of us is very unique in their giftedness. And they're so unique in their giftedness that the person sitting next to you, behind you, or on the side of you, or in front of you, they cannot do what you do. They cannot fulfill the activity or the ministry or the thing that you have been called to do like you can. Only you can do that. And so in this first little section here then, we see that there are differences. That we don't need to have one person do it all. And that's not really what the body of Christ is. The body of Christ is different people serving in their area of giftedness. And as they do that, then we notice there it profits all. All of us are beneficiaries of each one of us using our gifts. The whole body then is lifted up and built up. If that's the case, what does that then say about someone not using their gifts in the body of Christ? It says that then there's something suffering. There's something that's not profiting in the church because of somebody not using or exercising their gifts. And so there's different gifts. We don't need to be all things to all men, nor should we, because Jesus was that. And because Jesus was that, He was God and we're man, now we have a part of that. But all together then, we're the body of Christ. We fulfill together what Christ was Himself. Now, if you'll stay there, the second thing I want to look at is the fact that all gifts are needed and all gifts are important. Because it would seem like the apostles or the 12, they may have been, on the surface, it may have thought serving tables was beneath them or below them. But that wasn't the issue at all. Because the disciples were not far removed from being in the open or the upper room where Jesus gave them a model, an example of what greatness really is. As they were arguing about greatness, then Jesus began to wash the feet of the disciples, saying that the greatest of all is the servant of all. And we can get it in our mind that there are different things in the church that rate higher than other things. And in reality, what we find that all gifts are important and all gifts are needed. And when we can understand that and get that in our mind, we can see that together, in the body of Christ, when one person is doing something, that's us doing it. When another person's doing another thing, it's us doing it. We're all together in those activities, and it's not one person. It's not one man. It's the body of Christ. And I believe God did that. He didn't give one person all the gifts or one person most of the gifts because He wants us all to experience the wonder of serving and using our gifts. He wants us all to be able to do that, not one person, because it is an absolute blessing and privilege and honor that God would include us in His work. He would include us in the ministry to be able to carry out and function what in the way that He did. That's a privilege. That's an honor. And so the next thing I want to look at is the fact that all gifts are needed and all gifts are important. Look with me at verse 12 of chapter 12. It's the best area that I see where this is explained. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members," he's comparing the spiritual body of Christ to a physical body. He said, "But all the members of that one body being many, they're one body, so also is Christ." So we are many what Christ was Himself. In verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." That's the qualification for us to come in and be part of the body of Christ. It's that we would be born again. We have taken in of the Holy Spirit, which is the sign and the deposit, the down payment that we are really God's, that we are His forever. It's that Holy Spirit. That's what makes us one. That's what makes us one group or one body. But look at verse 13. He says, I'm sorry, 15. He says, "If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Then he says, "And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He has pleased." And so thank God we're not all a bunch of ears or a bunch of noses or a bunch of eyes. Have you ever tried to hear with your eyes? Have you ever tried to see with your ears? Have you ever tried to smell with your mouth? I guess you can do that, huh? Have you ever tried to smell with your eyes? I guess you can't really smell with your ears. Yeah. Anyway. But you see what the point the Apostle Paul is getting at here? The point that he's getting at is that he wants us all to be included. The idea that church is just a place where you go hear a lecture, you go and leave. Something that for the early part of my Christian life was something that I thought church was all about. There's something we're learning here that church is so much more than that. It's so much more spiritual than that. Our being part of a body is so important that the Apostle Paul says that God has given us to one another. He has given us a gift for one another, for the profit of all. And when the eye is suffering, when the ear is not hearing correctly, when one person is not operating and using their gifts, then the body suffers, the whole body, everybody, because we're very intricately linked together like that, spiritually. But notice also in verse 18, it says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He has pleased. So it's God that has set the body together in a certain way, as He pleased, with God's foreknowledge, with God's understanding, with God's knowing our each individual makeup, our each individual characteristics, and the way we are to function the best, the way He made us. He sets us in a body. He sets us in a place where our gifts can be used to the fullest extent and in the most effective sense. And God does that. That's the thing that's neat. That God brings bodies together. That God brings people together. And He does it in such a way where each person has a spiritual place. And as that person has that spiritual place, then we become this one, this oneness, this unity, this hard to explain spiritual entity that all of us make up one. Amazing when you think about that. In verse 19 then, he goes on and says, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" And that's the beauty of the diversity, how God gives different people different gifts and not just one. If just it was one person, there would be no body. It'd sort of be like Mr. Potato Head, just one thing, you know, just there, not a bunch of different parts and not a different members. Mr. Potato Head wasn't real effective. He wasn't real agile and fast and mobile because he just was there. But we have been given all these different parts so that we can effectively function in so many different ways. Verse 20, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Many members, yet one body. A little difficult to explain that, but with the analogy here, it's just like our body, our physical body. A lot of different parts, a lot of different members, but all with the same spirit, all with the same makeup, the same DNA, the same something inside of us that makes our whole body, not all these separate units in ears and hair and eyebrows and noses and legs, but all that is one. And so as we have been grafted together like that, put together in a body, the gifts then are functioning to a level where as we would walk in a direction, our arms and our legs and our feet and our head, they'd all have to go the same direction. We can't go in two different directions, can we? Sometimes it feels like it when life gets a little crazy, but in reality, we have to go in one direction. The only way we can go in different directions is if part of our body was severed. Part of, you know, our hand was here and then we can go. We can't do that because we're all linked together. Verse 21 then, he says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, if I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you." There's a need in the church for every member, for the profit of all. Again, the importance, just can't stress that enough, that church, sometimes we can think, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I go to church or if I'm part of a local body. That's just not, doesn't matter. I can listen on the radio. I can be fed. I can read my own Bible. Yes, you can do all that. But what you can't do without a local body and being part of it is you can't exercise your gift in which a body would be built up. You can't be by yourself and then also be part of a body and exercise your gift so the person sitting next to you is blessed. And you may be saying, well, how exactly does that happen? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Verse 22. "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, they are necessary." And notice that, which seem to be weaker. In the body of Christ, there are more prominent positions. There are more prominent gifts. There are more gifts that we can seem to put a hierarchy on gifts. And what we're seeing here is maybe some seem to be weaker, but in verse 23 it says, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts we have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That means that the person who's more behind the scenes, or the person that we think has a weaker ministry or weaker gifts, they're the ones that maybe receive less honor and glory by man. But in God's eyes, those are the ones that He is bestowing honor upon. And who would you rather receive honor from, God or man? And God is saying those, what we perceive as to be the weaker parts or the less significant, in God's eyes, those are the parts that are receiving honor from Him. And so maybe the woman who's convalesced in a home who can't come to church every Sunday, but she's there praying for the church, and nobody knows about her. Nobody knows what she's doing. And God is saying that is who's getting much honor. And what we may think is a weaker gift in our example, serving tables, in God's eyes, it's not less. It's not weaker. But what it is just serving in the area that our gift is. That's what's important. Because God doesn't want us, number one, to be all things to all men. And number two, He doesn't want us in areas that He hasn't given us a gift to be able to carry out effectively that place. And so we should never feel guilted into serving into something. We should never feel pressured into serving into something. We should never allow man to dictate where we should serve or how we should serve. But we should simply be in the area that God has gifted us. And when we are serving in that area, what happens is it becomes the joy of our life. That's why this is so important, to understand our area of giftedness. Because the body needs it, and because, too, we need it. We need to be exercising our gifts in the area of our giftedness. As Christians, that's just absolutely something that we need to thrive as believers. And that is where we find that inexpressible joy of God's grace manifesting itself in us and then out through us. And when we're in that area, it feels comfortable, it feels joyful, it feels wonderful. We don't feel a burden. We don't feel pressure. And that doesn't mean that it's not hard. Sometimes you go through spiritual warfare and things. But what it means is you feel like this is why I was put on earth. I was put on earth to do this thing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an office or official place for that ministry. It can be. But what it is just simply exerting ourselves in the area of our giftedness. You know how when you're in school or work, there's a lot of things that you have to do that you don't want to do? You know, I remember in school just taking all these classes that I just had absolutely no interest in. But you have to do it to get the grade, to be able to graduate. A lot of times work's like that. There's just so many things at work that if you could do anything you wanted, it sure wouldn't be that thing. It's not like that with our spiritual gift. Our spiritual gift is what we want to do. But remember, this is speaking to people who have said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm submitted to you. I'm subjected to you. I'm going to live my life to do what you would like me to do. I'm going to live my life for your kingdom. And then God says, okay, I've given you a gift. Now, as your gift, just there's things you want to do, you feel like doing, you enjoy doing, do that. That's probably what your gift is. Just do that. And a lot of times we think, well, there's no ministry in the church for me to do that. But we don't have to look for the office or the ministry, because in any ministry we can use our gift. For example, the children's church, we don't have to teach the children's church. We can do other things. We can pray for the children's church. We can commit ourselves to pray. We can exhort and encourage the people in the children's church. We can, if we have the gift of ministry, we can help with some of the crafts and the cutting out and those sort of things. We can help with the organization. And, you know, just as an example, that's sometimes we look for the office. The office will find us. What we need to do is just exercise our gift and not worry about the office. Just exercise our gift. That which we like to do spiritually, do that. Do that. And as Proverbs 18:16 says, your gift will make room for you. As God has given the gift to us, our gift will make room for us. We don't have to build a room so that our gift can be used. What we do is just enjoy the Lord and do in the body of Christ what feels wonderful and natural. And then as we do that, it'll become apparent to all what our gift is. It's been interesting over the last few weeks. There's just been a lot of discussion about spiritual gifts, and people have started kind of thinking about other people and saying, oh man, that person's gift is this and that person's gift is that. It just becomes real obvious for certain people. Other people are still kind of feeling their way through that and discovering what their gift is. But it's the neatest thing for me to just to watch a person operate in the area of their giftedness. That's just the neatest thing. And to see just the joy that comes over them and to see the effectiveness that comes from that ministry, that's the blessing. That's the building up of the church. Let's move on. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. Turn back with me to the book of Acts. The body of Christ, the linkage that we have with one another. That is, we are actually suffering when another suffers, rejoicing when another rejoices. And the exhortation and encouragement there is that there would be no division. There would be no schism or breaking in the body of Christ. That we would be able to just see our area of giftedness and say, that's where I want to function. Not look at another and not be an eye and want to be a nose, or not be some other part of the body and want that. Just to serve and operate in our area of giftedness. So gift area, there's different gifts, different areas for our gifts. All are needed. All are important. The third thing that I want to talk about is Satan's ploy in all this. Verse 4 in the book of Acts, it says, But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. What we're finding out is that through this little section of Scripture, there was a plan, a ploy of Satan to get those who were called to the ministry of the word to do something else. What if the 12 would have said, okay, we're going to leave the ministry of the word and we're going to get in another area that we are not called nor are we appointed to serve in? Well, then we wouldn't have a body anymore, would we? We'd have 12 guys, 12 members, and that's it. It's wrong to think that one person should be in charge of doing everything. It's wrong that we would think that one person would be all things to all men. It's the body. And so the apostles, this is the wisdom of the 12. Their wisdom is they understood and they knew their role. And they knew that their role wasn't better than another role. What they were doing wasn't greater than what somebody else was doing. In fact, that same word for serving tables and the same word for the ministry of the word, it's the same word in the Greek. Serving tables and the ministry of the word, it's the same thing. We're ministering. We're ministering in our area of giftedness. But what they did know and they did understand is what they were called to do. And they weren't going to allow a pressing, urgent need to distract them from that. Because they knew that their job wasn't to be turn the church into a business organization. They understood that the saints, the body of Christ, that they needed to be equipped, that they needed to be ready. And how did they do that? How did they equip the body? Through the ministry of the word. through the ministry of the Word. The importance of the ministry of the Word means that these apostles and on through the ages was that we're going to keep the church a spiritual body. That the church wasn't going to turn into an organization, an institution. And this ploy was sort of to institutionalize the church. To make the church an organization that was not spiritual. And how they would do that is by leaving the teaching of the Word of God. Because as they did that, there would be no building up, no equipping, no readying. There would be no people to be able to be ready to serve tables now. And so they understood then that Satan's ploy is to get people out of their areas. And not only for the apostles and the disciples and the 12, but for all of us. Because what happens when we're out of our area, we begin to feel burdened, weighted down. We begin to grumble and murmur and just despise what we're doing. And when I read my Bible, that's just simply not what the Bible says. Jesus says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Jesus does not want our jobs to feel sort of like, our ministries to feel like we can feel when we're doing things that we don't like to do. It's not supposed to be like that. But Satan would love for us to just do things for the wrong reasons and then get into the flesh and then all of a sudden we're burdened down. All of a sudden, ministry is not ministry anymore. All of a sudden, it's a job. All of a sudden, it's a burden. And Jesus doesn't want that. But boy, I'll tell you what. When you have a body of believers that have discovered what their gifts are and are functioning in their area of gifts, you begin to see the love of Christ permeate through that body. Because when the Spirit's manifesting Himself through people, that's the primary characteristic of a person operating in that ministry. It's love. And when you begin to see the joy that comes upon people when they're operating in their area of giftedness, the love that's in that body, now you have something that the world looks into and looks upon as a unit of people, a group of people that have been mysteriously, spiritually grafted together in such a way that the world is in awe of that. And that's when the church becomes the light of the world. That's when the church becomes something that really is appealing and attractive to the world. The world is becomes so attracted to that, they want to know how we can be a part of that. And we know the first step is that you must be born again. Must be born again. That's my prayer, my hope, my desire for our body. That we're finding our place, we're finding our area. We're serving with joy and with love. We're enthusiastic and we're passionate about it. That's our area of giftedness. The last little section I want to look at. In verse 5. Now this is the impact. This is the result. This is tying everything together we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. When a body is functioning correctly, when people are taking their spot, their place, using their gifts, the body's being built up, love and joy are permeating throughout the body, there's an impact there. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. So these are all the Hellenist Jews. The names here are all the Greek names. That means these guys came from the one side where the widows were being neglected. Now I think that was wise. But what we're finding here, first of all, these were... The impact of them using their gifts was a unified body. There was an opportunity for a little division, a little schism, a little break. There was some, you know, as the needs grew, there were some challenges being faced. There were people that were being neglected. How do we handle that? the apostles, the 12, they correctly handled it using wisdom. And now what we see as a result of them, the apostles being Spirit-led and using wisdom to handle this situation, we have a real unity here. We have the group, the whole body are the ones that picked these guys. And these guys were picked. They were from the camp where the people were being neglected. Great wisdom. And we're seeing an agreement here. That agreement doesn't mean that everybody necessarily thought these people were the right people, but it meant they came to a point where they were all submitted to one another. They all saw and recognized that these men had those gifts and that those qualifications. There was a bit of probably submission involved here, meaning they had to sort of yield to maybe what they thought or what they knew to be best. And we're talking thousands of people that were part of this body here at this time. We're seeing that they recognized that there had to be some order. They recognized that in order for there to be order, that there had to be a little give. But at the same time, they recognized the Spirit was working in all this. And that because of that, they were okay with that. And so they selected these guys. And notice in verse 6 it says, they set these guys, the seven, they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And so the body selected these guys. We see sort of a bit of order in the church. We see the apostles, they still had an oversight responsibility, and the body recognized that, but yet the body was included in the decision. And then the body went back to the apostles, the 12, and the apostles and the 12 apostles, they gave their approval, and they laid hands on them. The whole body was part of this. It was obvious the gifts that were involved in these guys' life. It was obvious that their gifts had made room for them. It was obvious now that the apostles agreed upon that. And so now the body is taking shape, isn't it? The apostles now they're continuing ministering to the body, building up the body. Other people are coming alongside now because they're equipped. And now they're able to function in certain offices or certain roles that the body had chosen and the apostles agreed upon for them to be in. Now the whole congregation's united. They're happy. They're working again towards one goal, towards the glorification of God. And that's really what's important, isn't it? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was all about, his whole life, about glorifying his Father. And now, as we are spiritually his body, our gifts should be exercised in the same direction. It's always to glorify God. That's what our gifts are used to do. And so we have this amazing unity, a unified body, as their gifts were being used. The second thing is now we have an equipped body. We see this body fully equipped. It's a problem when a pulpit or a pastorship or a person in that position is not about the ministry of the word. And when that person becomes more of an organizer or more of a businessman or more of an administrator, all those things can happen, but primarily a pastor should be a teacher. Why? Again, you got to know that verse, Ephesians 4:11. The pastor's role is to equip the saints for the ministry. Without that equipping, we don't have the continuing on of the ministry. Without that equipping, we don't have others to raise up, to take the place of others who leave and go start other ministries. And that's really the heart and the passion behind what we do here at Calvary Chapel, is to raise people up, to equip them, that they will know God and grow in God and then go out for God. That doesn't necessarily have to mean a foreign state or foreign land or foreign country, but it could. And that's my hope and my desire, that many of you would be raised up and equipped to go plant churches other places, to go overseas and be missionaries. That's my heart's desire, to see that happen. That will happen here. Why will that happen? It's because the Word of God and the ministry of the Word, coming in contact with Jesus, getting to love Him more, understanding His love for you more. It's very difficult as you begin to grow and have the Word infiltrate your life and permeate the aspects of your life just to be the same. For all of us, as we continue to grow and feed ourselves in God's Word, we begin then to grow spiritually. And a natural result of our growth spiritually is a natural desire to want to see our gifts used. And see our gifts used as we grow in bigger places, in bigger opportunities, to be more fruitful and more productive. It's a natural thing that happens. And so in our body, as we begin to grow and see, have an open heart and say, God, what would you have me to do? And right now, what he's having you to do is be here in this place for this time. But as we go on from here, we need to have open minds, open hearts, and really ask God what he wants. And ask God that he would use us. And then ask God that he would allow us to be part of the furthering of his ministry. That's why he's given us the gift. The last thing I want to talk about then is the fruitfulness of the body. As these equipped saints then were exercising their gifts, and the apostles and those were ministering in their area of gifts and not going into other areas where they weren't gifted, now we see the fruitfulness. Look at this in verse 7. This is a fruitful body. It says, then the word of God spread. There's fruit right there. Fruit number one. The word of God spread. Wherever the church has committed itself to the word as a body, you'll see revival. You'll see a revival in the hearts of the people who will simply get into God's word. You'll see revival in the heart of that church as people turn to God's word. On the flip side, wherever the word of God is taken out, lessened, diminished, or put to the back burner, you'll see the strength of the church and the strength of God working through the church diminished. You'll see a powerless church. And then the church takes on another shape and another form that represents something more of the world than it does more of the institute of God. And so these equipped saints functioning in their area, what we have is fruitfulness. The word of God spread. That should be our prayer continually. May God's word spread, because that's really what's important. And when God's word spreads, that's where the power is. The second thing, notice, as God's word spread, the number of disciples multiplied. The number of disciples multiplied as a direct result of God's word spreading. That's really what's important. God's word spreading results in disciples increasing. The next thing, as those disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I really like that last little part, and that's the third thing about being a fruitful church. This church, it was fruitful inside with the unity and the equipping, and that resulted in being fruitful outside the four walls. And that's really a healthy church, isn't it? Fruitfulness inside that spreads itself to fruitfulness outside, outside these four walls. And this last part really touches me because of what we've been going through on Wednesday night, looking at the priesthood all the way back in the book of Leviticus and seeing how the priests have been for years and years and years, thousands of years, conducting these ceremonies with bulls and rams and turtle doves, and been looking through all the different offerings and things that they'd have to do on a daily basis. And as Jesus comes onto the scene after thousands of years of the priesthood, some of the chief priests, no doubt, in the operation of their ministry duties in the temple, carrying on those activities, the mundane activities and the difficulty and the hard work that they did for centuries, it finally came to the point that all those things that they spoke of, all those things that their ceremonies pointed to, came to fulfillment in their giving their life to Jesus Christ as well. And that's the fruitfulness that happens from just simply a group of people being part of a local assembly and exercising and using their gifts in that assembly. And that's it. And so as we've gone through all these understandings of the gifts and looked at all the different aspects, what it really comes down to then is simply our desire and our wanting to be used by God. And if we will be a people that say, Lord, this life is short, really the only thing that matters is what I do spiritually for your kingdom. And God has given us gifts to be able to effectively build up His kingdom for the profit of us all here and then the profit of the outside, the world. And so, who would say, Lord, yes, I want that. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let me be one who builds up. Let me be a builder. Let me partake of this incredible thing called the body of Christ, and let me be used to build that body up. How can I help, Lord? Show me the way. Use my gifts. And as we just do that, and are obedient to the direction and leading of the Lord, I can promise you and guarantee you by the authority of God's Word that there will be spiritual fruit come from your life. That you'll see spiritual results come from the exercise of your spiritual gifts. And let me just say, there is nothing better in life than that. Doesn't matter how big or how small that fruit is, but when you see spiritual fruit reproduced through you, when you know that it's not of you, but it's of God, and He's working through you as just simply a vessel and an instrument, and His grace is being poured out in you and out through you, and other people are receiving that grace, and you're seeing the result of that, there's nothing better than that. And so I just want to encourage you as we leave this topic and move on to other areas. Would you say, Lord, here I am, send me? Would you just bow before the Lord and say, God, I want that. I don't want to just live for myself and live for this world and die and have nothing to show for it. Lord, I want to live for your kingdom. I want to live for you. I want to do what you did. I want your life to be reproduced in my life. And that's using your spiritual gifts. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for this body, Lord. I pray for these precious people in whom you love so much. Lord, I pray that they would see that they are so significant, so important in being part of your body, that you've given them gifts. Father, help us all to recognize what our gifts are. Help us to function and operate in those gifts. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless the obedience of us that desire to want to serve you. And Father, I ask that as this body continues to grow, Lord, that you would be glorified. I pray that you would be exalted, that you'd be the center, that you'd be the attraction, that you would be the one in whom we all live our life for. Father, we ask for fruitfulness. And you say, Lord, if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. And we're asking, we know, according to your will. Lord, let us be a fruitful people. Some 30, some 50, some 100, 100-fold fruit. Let us be fruitful, Lord. And Father, I want to pray for Theodore, Lord, who passed away. My parents' neighbor in California, 42 years old. I pray for his family, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them, Lord, that you would take away the sting of death. And I pray that his life would just be a reminder to us all at 42 years old, Lord, that we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week or next month holds. But Lord, we do know this, that you hold our future in your hands. May we be effective while we have the chance here on earth, Lord. May we be useful and fruitful. We pray this all together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our last song. A lot to think about, a lot to know about, a lot to ponder on. But boy, sure need to know that God loves us enough to give us gifts like that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange.